Memorial Day, May 30th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear the entire Crossing East series on KBOO 90.7 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Extreme Amateur Games BMX competition. Round 1, Sunday, May 29th, at D Block Indoor Skate Park in Clackamas. This is round 1 in the 5th competition of the Mad Bro Extreme Amateur Games. Winners are allowed to compete in following competitions and in the final. Again, that's Extreme Amateur Games BMX competition round 1. Sunday, May 29th at D Block Indoor Skate Park, 8921 Southeast Jansen Road in Clackamas. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are architects Brian Kavanagh. He's the president of the CFA and of the Center for Architecture, and Robert Hoffman, the executive director of the Center for Architecture. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Good morning.
Morning. Thank you.
So we're here to talk about Snøhetta, which is a Norwegian architecture company who are building two big public projects in the Portland area. One is a James Beard Market, the food market that'll be built in a couple of years, the West End of the Morrison Bridge.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're in the very early stages of that project. Actually, both projects, they're in the very early planning stages. So they're long-term projects.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is at Willamette Falls.
Yeah, it's the Willamette Falls Riverwalk. So it's really the first phase of what'll be a really large redevelopment of the Red Herring's
Blue Heron site.
Blue Heron site. Yeah.
Blue Heron. Paper factory. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So this is taking a kind of ugly industrial area by the waterfall at Willamette Falls.
Yeah, and reclaiming
and turning it into. So it's both reclamation and a tourist kind of.
Yeah, so I mean, and I think, you know, the strategy is to get the public component of it in place first. You know, the overall redevelopment project is going to take quite a long time, and it's a very complicated project. And what Snøhetta is working on is the planning of a river walk, an interpretive kind of walk that allows the public to get back down to the falls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just give us a little background on Snøhetta. I mean, I'd never heard of them, but when they got the James Beard, mm-hmm. everyone was like, oh my God, Portland just got so lucky.
Yeah, well, Snøhetta, you know, they're based in Oslo. That's where they were founded. I think the formation of the office was born out of a competition they won for the Alexandria Library, which is an incredible project. They've become quite a prolific firm. They have offices, I think, in about 6 locations. So, and we worked really closely with some of their folks from the New York office and also their San Francisco office. But they're doing work all over the world. You know, they just recent in the news would have been the opening of the new wing of the SF MoMA, or mm-hmm. expansion to SF MoMA.
Yeah.
That's a project that they've been working on for quite a long time.
Uh-huh. So that's a tall white building, very right irregular. It looks like a stack of paper kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a very good. Yeah, I think, you know, the face it presents to the existing building done by Mario Botta is actually quite planar, and then on the backside, it almost becomes this sort of rippling facade, in which you can see the facade at the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I mean, just so people know, they may have heard of these buildings, but the Norwegian National Opera and Ballet. I mean, that is extraordinary, kind of low slung buildings where the roofs slope down to the ground.
Yeah,
you're sort of encouraged to walk on a roof.
I mean, in many ways, you know, that building explores how building can be actually public space. It's almost more, you know, public urban space than it is building.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it's really engaging the waterfront and becoming a plaza. Yeah.
So the roof, the ground just goes right to the water. You
yeah.
can sort of paddle.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
you can also be up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And but inside there's a theater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's all the work. And I think this is what's great for the public is these are very ambitious projects, and you know they're very progressive in their in the nature of their form and aesthetics, and so I think it's a good opportunity to really expand the dialogue about design in this city, and that's really the opportunity we saw with the exhibit, knowing that Snoheta mm-hmm. was going to be doing two very important public projects here and helping shaping the city. And the broader region, broader area, that it was just a perfect opportunity to get the public, one, just provide them a lens through which to understand this office that mm-hmm. they most likely didn't know anything about, and also just expand the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really at the heart of what we want to do at the CFA.
Yeah. So there's this exhibition at the Center for Architecture, which is in the Pearl on 11th Avenue. And it's called People Process Projects, and it's all about Snoheta. And Robert, tell me, when you go in, what's the feel like?
Well, I think
it's not just stuff on a wall, right?
No, and I also, you know, Brian was really the first one that brought the exhibit to our attention, and we saw how it was how it existed in Copenhagen, and immediately we realized that. The difference here that made it so attractive to our mission at the Center for Architecture was that this firm, albeit an amazing group of talented architects, they also took the time to design a way to talk about how their firm works and who the people are behind those projects, the tools they use to develop their design ideas, and to literally expose that in a way that I think is not very available to most people who even to this day appreciate architecture, but they only see it in sort of a final form.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walk in our door at the Center for Architecture, it's right there when you walk in, a very large graphic that talks about Snoheta's culture and an image, a very powerful photograph of the Snoheta Mountain. So Snoheta literally means snow head, and it's a prominent geological feature there in Norway that is sort of grounding their culture. And you find out right away with the exhibit that the People Process Project's name is very literal, and the exhibit is set up in sort of three sections of, I would say, engagement of the viewer or the participant. So you come in and you'll be directed sort of naturally to the area you mentioned earlier to us, you know, the sort of lounge area. That whole area is a physical representation of what the Snoheta firm culture is about, not just by description of people or what they might be working on, but literally some of the spatial characteristics or qualities of their office that sort of embodies their culture. We've recreated those, mm-hmm. or I should mm-hmm. say they did, and we
right.
certainly helped them do it. But
so there's a big white coffee table with outlets on it
yeah.
and blocky foam couches and
yeah.
seats and a few stools. That's where I guess people sit around and talk about a project maybe and put papers down.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be in their firm culture, that would be the area where they want their clients and their visitors to acclimate to the idea of talking and engaging in design. So the idea
right.
of the lounge isn't a work area, but it's an area where you start thinking in terms of ideas and concepts. And the bleachers, you know, they have mm-hmm. you noticed a custom set of bleacher seating that they have in many of their offices around the world. The area you talked about was very much just a place to have that kind of casual communication. Whether it's, I mean, that could be an area where you express some of your earliest ideas about a concept for a design,
mm-hmm.
you know, a definition of the opportunity.
Yeah.
And then they talk about people, not just, you know, here's what we build, but these are the folks and how those people gather. So there's a very strong tradition of this very long, they call it the lunch table, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very long and you know, I don't know if this is a historically Norwegian idea or not, but certainly the idea of gathering at a very long rectilinear table and sharing in meals with one another and sharing in conversation with one another, I think it establishes a continuity of communication. Mm-hmm. And for me, just as an outside architect looking at how they work, I think that's a core value that propels how they work.
Does anyone else do that? Or maybe in the U.S.? Like, is it sort of alien to the U.S. way of
working? Well, I mean, I think in various ways it manifests itself. I mean, more and more the idea of the, I think, the kind of workspace that not even just architects and design firms and creative firms, but a lot of different types of companies are starting to understand that type of shared workspace mm-hmm. is really important and actually quite a great way to share ideas and facilitate collaboration. And, you know, it's way more efficient than sort of separate little cubicle workstations.
Yeah, yeah.
And in their culture, I mean, in their office culture, that process or that people space of the exhibit is really representing a commitment to sharing, just, you know, sharing ideas, mm-hmm. whether it be on a personal level or with projects and collaboration.
And this is sharing as in you don't get smacked down for having an idea about somebody else's discipline.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's about, this is just a place of exchange, which I think represents a broader commitment throughout the practice, mm-hmm. you know, that we are facilitating sharing the best ideas.
And then when you go through the exhibition, the middle area, there is a big table full of little models that you can pick up and play with. Most of them 3D printed, some of them traditional mm-hmm. cardboard.
The process section is really what you're talking about. And I think equally fascinating in terms of exhibiting what that firm's about was designing something that clearly was meant to show people that the design of buildings, number one, is a very complex act. Part of the exhibit that's process oriented is they just want people to understand 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. We are in the constant search for defining what these architectural and space opportunities are, and we're going to show anybody that comes in and cares to get involved that these are the tools we use to do it. Even with the James Beard Public Market, they're in a very public process of gathering information and involving the community and talking. Mm-hmm. Language is not just about form and architecture. It is about spoken and verbal and written language as well. There has to be a clarity there. And they're very good at just saying, yes, we do that. And most good design firms do this as well. But the mm-hmm. way they tell that story gets the participant involved. Right. So you can sit there. You saw those whiteboards. They want to hear people's comments.
So, yeah, they have a huge whiteboard that says, in the James Beard area, saying, what are your favorite mm-hmm. public spaces? And then people are writing all sorts of stuff.
It was actually just a happy coincidence that was the way the exhibit was going to be structured, and the impetus for the exhibit being those two local projects, and that those two local projects just happened to be in a perfect place in terms of their development.
The little models you just mentioned to me, there are many, many, many excellent design firms in the United States, of course, and even here in Portland. I mean, we have a lot of talent. So those people are seeing that, and they're nodding their heads because the success is that the Snohetta team figured out a nice way to take something that's fairly complex and make it accessible to people and say, this is not about magic. It is about a lot of hard work, but a lot of fun and a lot of creativity and a lot of exploration. Mm-hmm. So I think what you were alluding to, Brian, earlier was that breakfast table idea is a symbolic thing as well that says we will carry out that conversation about design all the way through. And all those little models, you get to come in and pick mm-hmm. those up and look at them and realize, as you refer to, you know, hey, some of these were printed with digital, you know, printed pieces, but some of them were also made out of very traditional materials mm-hmm. or whatever they needed to express that idea about architecture that could be carried forward. And the difference to me is you normally can't do that at an architectural exhibit. You're like, hands off, this stuff is done and it's finished and it's a piece of art. And this is almost the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, which is actually in reality quite antithetical to the process of designing buildings. I mean, it's a very, at least in, you know, in our, my own office and other design focused practices, it's not a precious process. It's something that mm-hmm. your real only focus is to work through ideas as much as you can. And that the model shop section of the exhibit is a really great reflection of that type of commitment.
You mean that's how it is in an architecture firm?
Yes,
it's exactly. Very, things are being broken and remade.
Yeah, and you'll see models, even in the collection of models that we have in the exhibit, some are very refined and some are just two pieces of foam that were crudely cut to get at that initial idea of maybe massing or something. Yeah. But in some of them too, you can see that there's a progression here. There's some early, real crude models that are very much about, let's just get that our thoughts on, expressed in some material. And then you can see it kind of starting to evolve into a much more refined 3D printed version of it. That process manifests itself in different practices, but it is a great reflection of that process of 3D exploration.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Brian Kavanagh and Robert Hoffman, architects, who are here to talk about the show about Snowheads, the architectural firm. And the show's called People, Process, Projects. And it runs through June 30th at the Center for Architecture in the Pearl. Snowheads' buildings look like classic crazy architecture to me, where the form is enough. You're an outsider, you see this incredible geometric shape, and you can just look at it like a piece of sculpture, and you don't have to, maybe you don't even think about who's in the building and where the fire exits are and what the coding is, and they're so enjoyable from the outside. Do you have much sense of their process for how they develop, the inside, the use of the building, how much they care about the person on the inside?
I think there's a very rigorous process of understanding the functionality of the buildings, how they're serving their user. I think there's a very deep commitment and sensitivity to how these buildings work.
And is that done by asking the public or quizzing office workers?
Yeah, it depends on the project. You could imagine something with SF MoMA would have been a very broad process. As a cultural institution like that has large stakeholder group that they most likely reached out to. There's also multiple user groups from a staff perspective that they would have engaged at a very early level, early stage. And there's some project that comes to mind too, a much smaller scale project, is the reindeer station.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
Yeah, and that is a project in which you can see there's this very interesting notion of that's the space you're going to be in to
Can you describe it?
Well, you're in this little pavilion that is really there to allow you to view, in a sense, this sort of tundra-like landscape to view reindeer. And the space feels like it's been carved out of a solid piece of wood, almost maybe eroded almost. It has this very organic and natural fields. And it's sculptural on the one hand. But you can also see when you begin to study it that it's actually a very sort of measured condition in terms of seating, providing seating that is seamlessly flowing into the floor and into the walls, and that there's a lot of thinking going on in terms of creating a space for people to sit and engage the view.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I think your original question about their form is so compelling, you wonder, are they thinking about what's happening on the inside? And the fact is their architecture, probably by most expert opinion, certainly more experienced than mine, would say, the compelling nature of that form is the result of what Brian's talking about. They are completely driven by purpose of building. And so, the form follows function adage from Louis Sullivan is really about a refinement of a design process that's going to try to make as perfect a marriage as possible between what people need to have happen within space that we can create through building and how that takes on meaning in the built environment or in the landscape, like the project Brian's talking about. I mean, that for all intents and purposes, that's clearly one of the favorites when people come through the exhibit. They're just enamored with that one because—
Which one, sorry?
The reindeer. The reindeer viewing pavilion. Yeah. I mean, number one, it's of a scale. You can comprehend it because you can immediately put yourself in a space like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that the same dedication to how something works that can result in a form like that is pretty apparent in almost all their projects, even the really large ones.
Mm-hmm.
The Hunt Library that they finished at NC State. Hopefully, I'll get to see that when I go back to Raleigh in August with my family. But that project got some attention from Barack Obama's office. But being paid toward the head librarian of that university for a programmatic leadership that resulted in architecture like this. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the whole details of that award, but that was some sort of presidential citation.
Oh, really?
So I mean, the firm itself is going to be recognized, but the recognition, I think, was being awarded to that person on staff at North Carolina State because there was a leadership component working with the design firm that said, mm-hmm. we think we can take a library to a whole different level, mm-hmm. and here's how this will work. And that's a very complex project.
So they're doing a library at Temple University in Philadelphia, and the idea is it's not just a book repository, it's a place like in ancient Greece where you go and you walk around and you talk and exchange ideas. Mm. They're also doing the headquarters for Le Monde, the big newspaper in France, and it's the building shaped like a bridge. It's like a building at one end and the other end, and there's this curving section which is also building. The whole thing looks like kind of whittled piece of wood to me. And in the drawings, people are underneath it and looking around. So the public are kind of invited to kind of wander around in that area. Mm. So these are the kind of stunning looking buildings they're doing. But I thought, well, they've done an opera house, a newspaper, a library. Like, these are all the dying institutions. Like, what possesses them to take on those things?
In some ways, the library is quite the opposite of a dying institution. I mean, some of the most important projects of the last 50 years have probably been public libraries. I mean, Seattle Public Library up in, you know, in Seattle by OMA. And, you know, I think these are projects that are not only interesting for their very specific programmatic reasons, but they're also, they're projects that engage in the public space of, you know, our cities, and they have these other opportunities available to them that they actually create with the Opera House. They're not just creating the space for that program, but they're also actually reshaping the civic space of that city. And I think that's where you begin to see, with firms like Snohetta and many others, that really some of the most interesting work's being done right now, where that architecture plays a much broader, more expansive role than just the specific needs of that particular building, and in many ways impacting the space around it, just not the space that it occupies, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they're transformative projects,
yeah.
Which gets back to why it was so important for us to have the exhibit, because of the two projects that will be quite transformative for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the market, in many ways, is part of this, I think, drive in with the city to really rethink what our relationship to the river is. What's the relationship of the downtown to the river? And, you know, this and the new Multnomah County Courthouse building, you know, these are projects that will have the responsibility, I think, to redefine what that edge of the city is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's the reason why we should be looking at that work.
Well, it's the right time in Portland's development as a city. I mean, you see the milestones that have occurred in the past, you know, the decision to take I-5 in the direction it did over the east side, the decision to make Waterfront Park. And then these projects, I agree with Brian, are ones where people in successive generations will look back and see that as being very influential on where we're going. And, you know, so I think it's great that people get to see more of a hands-on view of how that's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's not typical.
Did they win a competition for the James Beard Public Market?
There was a public search for the, or a public selection process for the Falls. The market, I believe, was just through a series of relationship building, I think, with the old director who recently passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think of the drawings for this market?
Oh, the preliminary studies that we have, I think they're fabulous. I mean, it looks like, you know, you can tell by people's comments that have come into the exhibit or anyone that's seen that work. I mean, it's very compelling because they're trying to, you know, I think what the firm is good at, which you're seeing in that work, even the original concept, is to understand a community's culture. And Portland has a strong culture, and it's very evident internationally. You know, we have this sort of devotion to quality of life, and that gets expressed through, frankly, the marketplace. I mean, this is one place in the world where the public market has really come back as a 21st century desire. So you have a lot of different things making that happen, and you look at the space they're looking at creating and the way they want that to integrate into, as Brian mentioned, the riverfront and help define that. I mean, it's fascinating. Not 100% sure that's how it'll end up. But you have to start putting ideas down. Mm-hmm. And in that part of the process, you are admitting there are some things that are compelling, but you're also admitting we need to get voices involved. And someone has to start drawing and illustrating, even at a very realistic level, to get sort of the dialogue started. So it's like a shot of caffeine. You know, I'm sure it was extremely well considered, but they know in their process they're just getting that locomotive rolling. Mm. So I think there's amazing things yet to come.
And I think the current design, which, as Robert said, is, you know, very early days, and it represents the first, I think, initial conceptual pass that's probably going, you know, it's going to evolve considerably. I think what's really interesting to it is as a response to the very unique conditions of our bridgehead sites. You know, if you think about, and also that in that particular case, a very interesting, the very interesting site characteristics that are unique to that particular bridgehead condition.
Is that a very polite euphemism?
No. I mean, I think, you know, it's a challenging site, and which leads ultimately to some pretty, ultimately lead to a very interesting response architecturally that is most likely going to be something that's quite unique and not what you're, the most normative sort of architectural response is not going to be appropriate there, because mm-hmm. that's not a normative site condition. And so what you're seeing now is something that's very much, very, in a very interesting way, I think, born out of the really unique characteristics of occupying that particular site, which is something that we have in abundance. We have a number of these types of, you know, bridgehead sites.
Well,
right?
This is like cloverleaf kind of ramps,
yeah.
and just dead space and. Mm-hmm. It's pretty horrible.
It is, and it could be the really fertile ground for interesting urban conditions.
Mm-hmm.
If we just don't leave them there, you know, leave them sort of these fallow spaces.
Yeah. Robert and Brian, the Center for Architecture has this mission. I don't think a lot of people know where it is and that it's free and it's open 6 days a week. Just tell us a bit more about it.
The Center for Architecture started in 2009 through an initiative of AIA Portland. So that's our local chapter of the American Institute of Architects, which is a very strong chapter nationally. A lot of major cities across the country have realized in the last 15 to 20 years that it's very important to have a place that is not specifically for those of us in the industry to gather or learn, which is very critical to what we do, but rather a place where the public can be made poignantly more aware of what architecture is. I mean, for many people, they'll tell you they have a building they like, or they know that architects design, I hate to say this, but houses. You know, that question comes up all the time. Well, architects do design many residences, but most they don't. But the things that architects do that affect daily life are hardly explained as a process or a level of meaning in most people's evolution, you know, whether it's as young people coming through school or if you go into something design-related in college, you might be exposed to this. But the purpose of the center is to make that place where somebody can come and get something that they didn't have before that ties them back to the built environment.
Mm.
And that's why the exhibit, an exhibit like this, is critical, because the exhibit itself does that. It's very participatory, and it exposes architecture for what it is, which is an amazing thing that literally forms people's lives, right?
Yeah. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Brian Kavanagh and Robert Hoffman from the Center for Architecture. They were talking about Snøhetta, the Norwegian architectural firm. The exhibition is called People, Process, Projects, and it runs through June 30th at the Center for Architecture at 403 Northwest 11th Avenue in the Pearl. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Joseph.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the United States premiere of Liza, 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 produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from May 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Join Liza Minnelli at three different stages of her life, often all on stage at the same time, with plenty of songs, backstories about the iconic and troubled daughter of Judy Garland, with a bit of dancing and prancing and much humor among the frightening tales of drink, drug abuse, broken legs, strokes, and hip replacements. Again, that's Liza, 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 May 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Oh!